Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 9, if you would, please. Now, Abby asked me last week what I was preaching on, so I relented and told her. I was down in Cairns this week visiting a few folks, and I met up with a guy down there, and his name is Alan McKenzie. Are you here this morning, Alan? No, he's not here. I'll talk about him then. Okay, Alan said, so what are you preaching on Sunday? I said, you know, you're the second person that's asked me what I'm preaching. I don't usually tell people, but seeing you putting pressure on me, I'll tell you. Well, I'll tell you what the message is this morning. It says they didn't believe what he said. And I was getting worried there when Buddy was teaching Sunday school this morning. He started to meddle around the edges of what I was preaching. I thought, that's it. You keep going, fella. Keep going. I'll have to stop you in the middle of it all. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Let's have a look at that this morning. And I want to preach to you a message on they didn't believe what he said. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your son. Thank you for your word. We know, Lord, that there's a world out there in unbelief. And we know, Lord, that we are trying to get the gospel out to them, Lord. We want people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We ask, Lord, if there's any in our midst today that have never come to that point where they've accepted you as your Savior, I pray this morning they would believe the word of God and they would accept you before they leave this building. And we ask, our Father, that you'd be with our missionaries as they labor for you in the various parts of the world where they're laboring today. Use them as the gospel is proclaimed, and we'll be thankful for what you're going to accomplish in people's lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 9, look on down with me first in verse 23. It says, likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I've given you, then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. Have a look at Psalm 106:24 as well. You know, as you read Psalm 78, Psalm 105, Psalm 106, it tells us a lot in a condensed history of the wanderings in the wilderness. And it's great to read those three chapters of the Bible together. But Psalm 106:24 puts a nail in it. It says, yea, they despise the pleasant land. They believe not his word. And so as we look at the word of God this morning, our message is they didn't believe what he said. And you can go from the book of Genesis right through to the book of Revelation, and you find this theme right throughout. So some of you young fellas that are going to be preachers, get in the book and read it and find every instance where they didn't believe what he said. And I'll tell you what, you'll have a volume that you can write if I don't beat you first. All right, turn over if you would to Genesis chapter 2. This is where it all started. The trouble started over here in Genesis chapter 2. God created man. And the Bible tells us God created man. His name was Adam. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And it says here in verse 7, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So God creates Adam. And he puts him in the midst of the garden called Eden. And there's a tree in the midst of the garden that God tells him not to eat of that tree, lest he would die. And of course, if you move over to Genesis chapter 3, God had created a wife for Adam. Her name was Eve. She was created out of a rib from Adam. And of course, she knew the forbidden fruit. And of course, in the garden that day, the Bible says the serpent had come into the garden. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And of course, if you look down here in verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. See, God said, Adam, thou shalt surely die. If you partake of that fruit, thou shalt surely die. And of course, the devil asked Eve, so what's going to happen? But the fruit of the tree in verse 3, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said unto Eve, you shall not surely die. The difference between God's statement and the devil's statement is only one word. God said, thou shalt surely die. The devil said, thou shalt not surely die. So who did Adam and Eve believe? They didn't believe God. You know, the devil came along and lied. He deceived them. And of course, they'd rather believe the devil than believe what God said. See, what God says in his word always comes true. And you were hitting on that this morning about Ahab and Jezebel. And so God had told Adam and Eve, don't eat of that tree. In the day that you eat of that tree, thou shalt surely die. And the devil said, thou shalt not surely die. You know, ever since then, men have been believing the devil's lie rather than believing the truth of God. They didn't believe what he said and they paid the price. And there's always a price for not believing what God says. Genesis chapter 6, look there please. So Adam and Eve didn't believe what God said and they paid the price. They believed the devil. Men have been believing the devil for centuries. And you know, today, even in the 21st century, people would rather believe a lie than believe the truth. People do not like the truth. People do not like facts and evidence. Back in when we were young fellas, there was a sticker on the back window of cars that used to say, my mind's made up already, don't confuse me with the facts. Do you remember that? That's the day and age we're living in today. My mind's made up already, don't confuse me with the facts. I just read 2 weeks ago an article on news.com and it's not about facts, it's not about evidence, it's all about feelings. It's not about truth, not about facts, it's not about evidence, it's all about feelings. Truth doesn't matter, evidence doesn't matter, it's what the feelings are. Well, I tell you what, feelings will betray you. Genesis 6, verse 5, it says down here, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Sounds like today, doesn't it? You know, the Lord Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. You know what it was like in the days of Lot? He was camped out there on the well-watered plains of Jordan, and next thing you know, he's in the city of Sodom. We know what damage that did to the family. We saw Lot's righteous soul was vexed from day to day with their unlawful deeds. But you know something, when you look at this here, the world was corrupt in the days of Noah. It was perverted in the days of Noah. But God said, you know, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. You young folks, you know, old fellas like us, we were preaching back there 30, 40 years ago. Mate, we're in the days of Lot. Look at them all. They're coming out of the closet. But who thought 30 years ago or 40 years ago, a man would want to marry a man or a woman would want to marry a woman? How do you know the Bible's true? Mate, it's being fulfilled. We're seeing it happen before our eyes. So God was concerned about this, so concerned, it grieved him at his heart. And he said, I will destroy man from off the face of the earth. Noah was a man who walked with God. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so God said to Noah, I'm going to destroy the world, but I want you to build an ark so long, so wide, so high, three levels, one door, one window. And he said, get busy. So build it out of gopher wood. So Noah started to build that ark and prepare for this great flood. There'd never been a flood. There'd never been rain upon the earth. I think back to just about 6 weeks ago, there was this little girl down south. She lived on a property, brother. She'd never seen rain. She's 6 years old. She'd never seen rain. And then when it rained, mate, there was puddles everywhere. Guess what she was doing? She's out there jumping and splashing everywhere. We're down at the markets yesterday over there at, what's that, Yungaburra? There's this little kid down. He had these little orange gum boots on, see? And this little puddle of red water, red mud, you know. He's there and he's splashing away. And I said, you having a good time? He looked at me. But, you know, God looked down on the earth and he said to Noah, get busy, build this ark. And, you know, the Bible says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So what does that mean? He was telling people judgment day was coming because they were wicked and they'd perverted God's way upon the earth. Well, you know, God's way has been perverted upon the earth in this day and age. Go back to the time of Moses on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. He's only away 40 days. And in 40 days, they'd taken the God of heaven. Where's God? Where's Moses? Aaron said, well, give me your jewelry. Let's make us a god. And, of course, they cast a golden calf, and they began to dance and prance around that thing naked. God said to Moses, you better get down there. You know what? They had perverted God from who he was to a four-footed beast and a golden image in 40 days. What can they do in several thousand years? So our world has certainly perverted the knowledge of God. So Noah got busy building that ark and he began to warn them of the impending judgment of God. And he just labored away till the ark was finished, 100 years or more. And of course, the Bible says that they made fun of Noah. They mocked, they scoffed. What are you doing, Noah? Building an ark. What's that for? Well, it's because of the flood that's coming. What's a flood? I don't know what a flood is. I've never seen one. You know, we baptized in the Ross River, I don't know how many years, brother. Never saw a crocodile there, but, you know, there was a sign there that said, dangerous, crocodiles inhabit this area. Well, I thought we'd pray before we baptize. But you know, I never saw a crocodile there. Does that mean they didn't exist? No. My friend, heaven exists. Hell exists. And so Noah got busy. He preached righteousness. They mocked, they scoffed, they made fun. The Bible tells us they were disobedient in the days of Noah. They didn't believe what he said. They didn't believe what God said. God had told Noah, judgment days are coming. And so when it finally came down, Noah said, come thou into the ark. God shut the door. And you know, day one, nothing happened. Day two, nothing happened. Day three, nothing happened. What do you think that mob's doing out there? Where's the flood, Noah? Where's the rain, Noah? Next thing you know, the bowels of the earth burst open, the windows of heaven burst open, and then it started, mate. Terror was struck into the hearts of those who didn't believe what he said, but it was too late. Danny giving out these tracts with these kids yesterday and last Saturday. You know, you have people come along, I don't believe that stuff, it's just a load of rubbish. Say, mate, the instant you die, you'll know it's true. And you know, Noah was telling these guys, it's coming, it's coming. You're going to die one day. And of course, they didn't believe what he said, but it came. And my friend, if you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to die one day. You can't escape it. I had a fella in Townsville tell me one day, he says, you know, there's no such thing as an absolute. I said, is that a fact? He said, that's right. So we'll go down to the cemetery, mate. You see all those headstones. That tell me there's one absolute. It's called death. I said, guess what? You have an appointment and you're not going to be able to escape it. It's a reality. Okay. So Noah preached the words, told them of the impending judgment of God, but they didn't believe what he said. And guess what happened? It came true. I mean, the terror was struck into the hearts of those people, but hey, it was too late. Banging on the ark was not going to get him in the door. They missed the boat literally, and so they perished in that flood, in that overflow. And so they didn't believe what he said. But you can go on right through the book of Genesis. You find it over and over and over. Think about Joseph. He was a 17-year-old kid. Any 17-year-olds here this morning? Joseph was 17. See, God was talking to Joseph. Joseph was a prophet. Joseph was a young prophet at 17. God had been revealing things to Joseph, and he revealed that to his father. He revealed it to his brothers. He said, you know, the day's coming. God has shown me. He said that one day you fellas will bow down and pay homage to me. Well, they said, that's never going to happen, mate. We're not going to let that happen. We're going to get rid of you. They planned on killing him, but Reuben said, let's not kill him. Let's sell him as a slave. So they sold him off into slavery at 17 years of age. Cut a long story short, 13 years later, after spending years in the house of Potiphar and in the jail down there in Egypt, Pharaoh calls for Joseph. And of course, he hears that Joseph is a prophet. He's able to reveal the interpretation of dreams. And so he says, well, get him up here. Let's talk to him. And so Joseph is shaved and he's reclothed and brought up before Pharaoh. He's now 30 years of age. He stands before Pharaoh and he says to Pharaoh, Pharaoh says, okay, I've had these dreams. And Joseph said, well, tell me what they're all about. So Joseph hears the dreams. He says, I'll tell you what, God is trying to tell you something. God is showing you something. And you know something? Pharaoh believed Joseph when his brothers didn't. Joseph told his brothers, but they didn't believe what he said. They did not believe what God had told Joseph, but Pharaoh believed Joseph because God had told him what was coming. He said, you got 7 years of plenty coming, 7 years of good, but you know what? It's followed by 7 years of bad. You need to get ready. You need to get prepared. He's 30 years of age. So Pharaoh says, you know, this guy's in touch with God. He's got God living in him. We're going to listen to him. I'm going to put him in charge of the program. So Joseph becomes the governor of Egypt under Pharaoh at the age of 30. 7 years of plenty have come and they've gone. How old is he now? 37. So now he's 37. He told his brothers when he's 17 years of age what's going to happen. You know, 20 years have gone by. He's now 37. The bad years have started. Maybe we're into year one, year two. We don't know for sure. The famine, the pestilence and all that is happening. So people are starving and they hear there's corn and grain in Egypt. So they come down to Egypt from all over the place to buy. And Jacob hears of this grain. So he says to Joseph's brothers who sold him, go down to Egypt. I hear there's grain down there. Go down and buy that stuff off these people and bring it back so we can live. So they went down to Egypt. So Joseph's 37 after the seven good years. So he's maybe 38, 39. Maybe 40. You know, we don't want to embellish it or anything like that. But guess what? Those brothers come down and Joseph sees them. He knows them, but they don't know him. See, he was a 17-year-old kid when they got rid of him. He speaks Egyptian, walks like an Egyptian, talks like an Egyptian, dresses like an Egyptian. They come in and he knows them. He understands them, but they don't understand him. So when those brothers are brought in, guess what? They bow down before Joseph. Mate, it took over 20 years. But I guarantee the word of God will come true. 2 years, 10 years, 20 years later, 2,000 years later, it will come true. They didn't believe what he said when Pharaoh did believe. Pharaoh said, I'll make you governor of Egypt. Nobody will be more powerful in Egypt than you except me. And so Joseph was made ruler of Egypt. And then, of course, you think about Egypt. There was a guy raised up whose name was Moses. And Moses was put on a mission to go down there and tell Pharaoh, let my people go or I'm going to kill your son. I'll kill your firstborn. So Moses arrives on the scene. He says, well, God says you've got to let the children of Israel go. And Pharaoh says, well, who is the Lord that I should obey him? I know not the Lord. And so Moses starts dealing with Pharaoh. And if you read the book of Exodus, you'll see what goes on there. Time after time, God sends the blood. The waters and the rivers are turned to blood. And of course, Pharaoh calls Moses, call God off sort of thing, you know. And this happens many times with the miracles. But God is showing Pharaoh he means business. Said, you better let my children go or else. Time after time. How many miracles? How many plagues, you know? The frogs, the flies, the blood, the murena, the cattle, you name it. And of course, Pharaoh's not listening. He doesn't really believe Moses' word, but even though these judgments come, he says, oh, look, I've sinned again against God. Get Moses in here. And Moses calls God off, and of course, Pharaoh goes back to his old way. He doesn't believe Moses. He doesn't believe what God says until finally the night of the Passover. The blood's on the doors and on the doorpost and on the lintel, and Moses tells the people of God, get ready, we're getting out of here. And he said, you know, at midnight, there was a cry went out. What had happened? God had passed through the land. And the judgment of God fell upon the firstborn just like Moses had warned. Those who do not have the protection of the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel, if they do not have the blood of the lamb as their protection, there will be death in the household of every firstborn, whether it be an animal or a child. And of course, there was a cry went throughout the land. There was death throughout the land. The firstborn in every household did not have the protection of the blood. And guess what? Pharaoh's household was touched. Pharaoh lost his firstborn. The word of God came true. He didn't believe Moses until that came true. And he says, all right, I give in. Let them go. And so you follow that through. And so the children of Israel are now being delivered out of the land of Egypt and they're heading towards the land of Canaan. What we just read before was God had promised the children of Israel, we're going to go over the River Jordan, we're going to go into the land of Canaan, I'm going to take you to the land of promise and you'll inherit all that land that we promised Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. But you know something, what we read here from their actions, they rebelled against God, they didn't believe what he said anyway. And so they paid the price for that. So Moses delivers the children of Israel. He takes them over the river, through the Red Sea, and they're heading towards the land of Canaan. They come to Mount Sinai, and there's rebellion after rebellion. And, of course, you read the scriptures. What was it? They come to the Red Sea, and the children of Israel said to Moses, you brought us out here to kill us. That's what it was. Wasn't there enough graves in Egypt? You brought us out here to die. See, they accused God. Moses said, I'm going to take you to the promised land, but they didn't believe what he said. When they came through the Red Sea and they got on the other side, you know, when there was no water, when there was no food, what was the accusation? You brought us out here to kill us. They didn't believe what he said. You see, when you don't believe what God says in his word, you accuse God of being a liar. Isn't that what the scripture says? If we do not believe what God says in his word, we accuse God of being a liar. So the children of Israel, they rebelled against God. You were talking about doctrine and morality. Brother, they rejected the doctrine of God. They rejected the truth of God's word and they just went haywire. They really did. Even in the days of Joshua, look at the time of the judges. They just went wicked. They just went feral. Is that a good word? They went feral. And so you go to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 6 and Joshua chapter 7, Joshua told the people, God said, we're going to take Jericho. We're going to attack Jericho. God's going to give us the victory over Jericho. And God said to Joshua, he said, now tell the people, when we get that city, touch nothing, take nothing, because it's all mine. It's accursed. Anybody touches, takes anything that belongs to me has the curse of God on him. But you know, there was one bloke in there that didn't believe what he said. You know, I think about the city of Jericho and I think about the intimidation that was coming. Rahab the harlot, she had enough sense, mate, to put her faith and trust in the Lord. She said, brother, she said, I knew judgment day was coming. He said, I don't want to be one of those that get the chop when judgment day comes. She said to the spies, when you go back, tell Joshua, you know, I want protection. I want to be saved. I don't want to come under the sword when judgment day comes. The Bible in Hebrews 11 talks about the faith of Rahab. She put her faith and trust in the Lord. And of course, she knew what was coming. Think about this, you young people. Here's Joshua and his army. They cross the River Jordan. They're camped outside the city of Jericho. And God tells them, you know, take the army and march around the city of Jericho once a day. Say nothing. Shh. Can you imagine an army? 600,000 men marching around the city of Jericho once a day. The people inside are wondering, what's going on? Day two. Here they come again. Out of the camp, around the city of Jericho, back to camp. Day three, day four, day five. Each day they're saying, here they come again, there they go again, here they come again, there they go again. And so day seven, round they go once, round they go twice, and they're saying, what's going on? This is not what they did the last few days. Seven times they went round, and of course you know what happened. The walls of Jericho came down. The shout was given, they went in, and they put Jericho to the sword. But the miracle was, on the wall was Rahab's house. When the walls fell down, Rahab's house still stood there. Why was that? The protection of God. Brother, they went in. Joshua said, go rescue Rahab. And so she was rescued. She was saved when judgment fell. But you know, there was a guy there that didn't believe what God said. His name was Achan. That's right. So he went in there. He saw the gold and the silver and the Babylonish government. He says, oh, goody. He took it and hid it in the tent. So when the children of Israel went out to fight the next battle, they lost. And they came back and did some soul searching. You know, you ever heard that term, navel gazing? You've heard it, haven't you? You older people, you've heard that term, navel gazing? You've heard that, brother? All right. It's a term that's used for soul searching. That's an interesting. Go back and look that up, brother. That's a real interesting one to look up. It goes into this area of mysticism and all that stuff. But navel gazing, they're saying, what in the world went wrong? Well, God said, I'll tell you what went wrong. You didn't believe what I said. Somebody went and stole my stuff and they got to be dealt with. And so you read the book of Joshua, you find it was Achan. And Achan paid the price because he didn't believe what God said. So God said, you have to be dealt with. And so God dealt with Achan. He lost his life. And of course, we know his family suffered because of that as well. So it's always important to listen to what God says, to believe what God says, because we live in a world that does not believe what God says. I taught RE like Susan does and some of the other kids here teach RE. I taught it for 18 years in one school. And there was one kid said to me one time, he said, you know, Mr. Hong, he said, my dad doesn't believe all this stuff. I said, why not? He said, he doesn't believe in anything he can't see. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, what about you? Ah, he said, I don't believe in anything I can't see either. I said, well, is that a fact? He said, yes. I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, you ever seen the wind? He said, well, no. I said, it doesn't exist. He said, hang on a minute. He said, of course it exists. I said, well, not according to your father, not according to you. I said, you can't see it, it doesn't exist. Oh, he said, I see what you're saying. I said, what about a sound? You ever seen a sound? He said, well, no. I said, they don't exist. He said, of course they do. I said, well, hang on a minute. You're arguing against yourself. I said, sound does exist, but you can't see it. And I said, what about the smell of roses and perfume and aftershave? You ever seen an aroma? No. They don't exist. It's just imagination. He said, no. So the long of the short was, I told him, I said, The Bible says the invisible things of the creation are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. I said, so how do you know there's a God? I said, his fingerprints are everywhere. I said, you've only got to look. I mean, you just pick up a flower, pick up a seed. I said, how many seeds in an apple? Maybe 8, maybe 10, depending what sort of apple. How many apples in a seed? That sort of stumped him. I said, I don't know. I said, well, plant one and find out. Wait 6 or 7 years, and I'll tell you what, you get all these apples, you get all these seeds. And I said, you know, that's the way sin is. But I said, you know, God has left all this evidence. I said, take one little seed. And it shows you there, God tells us over there in Genesis that he's the one that created all things. And you take a little seed and plant it in the ground. Guess what's in that little seed? The whole thing, mate. It's not just the seed, the outer casing, but in there is the tree, the trunk, the branches, the roots, the sap, the flowers, the fruit, the smell, the taste. It's all encapsulated in one little seed. Took millions of years to develop that, eh? No, it didn't. God is the one who created that, and he put it all in there, and that's a witness of God's creation. But, you know, people don't believe that stuff today, but we simply do believe the Word of God, because the Word of God tells us God created all things in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. And, of course, in bringing this down to a conclusion, I could go on forever, but he said, we've got to let you out for the business meeting. So there's a guy called Jeremiah, there's one called Isaiah, there's another one called Ezekiel. See, God came to Ezekiel, he said, you know, they've gone off into captivity. Let's go back to Jeremiah first. We're getting the cart before the horse. See, you go back and read the book of Jeremiah, and that's my favorite prophetic book, because Jeremiah was a man who was called to tell the children of Israel, here's something you young people need to understand. Jeremiah 1, have a look at that. Jeremiah 1. I tell the young people, hey, don't be too hard on the old folks. They know a lot more than you do. They've been around a lot longer than you. And I tell you what, you owe it to them, because they've given you everything you've got. They've invented the things you enjoy. So don't be too hard on the old folks. They're a lot smarter than you think. Look here in Isaiah 1:1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Here's one prophet that outlived four kings. What does that tell you? It tells you the man of God, he was smarter than them. But you know something? You read the book of Isaiah, they didn't believe what he said. Read the book of Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Have a look at that. Jeremiah chapter 1. Great prophets. I love the book of Jeremiah. You just read the book of Jeremiah. I tell you what, you can learn a lot just from that one book. Remember I said on Wednesday night, you read from the book of Proverbs, there's some great teaching in there to build your life. Well, Jeremiah is a book on learning lessons of life as well. Look here in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 3. Well, have a look at verse 2. It says, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. Came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, unto the carrying away of the captive of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Jeremiah outlived several kings. Isaiah outlived several kings. Read some of the other prophets. You'll find they also outlived some of the kings. Why was that? They were bringing a message to a nation who had leaders. And sometimes those leaders didn't listen, didn't believe what they were being told. They didn't believe what God said. And so Jeremiah, in a condensed version of this, said, you know, God says, if you don't turn from your wickedness, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be strife. God is going to deal with you. They didn't believe what he said. Because, you know, there was a crowd there called the false prophets, and they would say, don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He always tells you nothing but doom and gloom. He's so negative. We're the positive guys. Listen to us. We won't let you down. Everything's going to be okay. That's what the devil told Eve. Go ahead, help yourself. It's going to be okay. Nothing's going to happen. Try it. So they didn't believe what God said because they didn't believe what Jeremiah said. So Jeremiah said, you know, God's going to send the Chaldeans from way over there in Babylon. They're going to come over here. And the long and the short is there's going to be a massacre and you're going to get carted off to Jerusalem. That was the first warning. And so the false prophet said, that's not going to happen. Well, Jeremiah said, they're coming. They arrived. They're outside the walls of Jerusalem. And so the people still didn't believe what God said. They didn't believe what Jeremiah had said, even though the evidence was outside the walls. they still believed in the false prophets, still trusted the false prophets. So Jeremiah said, you know what? They're going to be here for 2 years. The false prophet stood up and said, no, they just come to have a look. You know, that should have been enough to convince the people that the false prophets were wrong. But they still trusted the false prophets, the deceit and the lies. They said, no, they just came for a look. Well, guess what? Jeremiah says, you know what? They're going to come over the walls and there's going to be a massacre unless we surrender and just go out and say, you know, we give up. But they didn't believe what God said. They didn't believe what Jeremiah said. The ultimate thing was, Jeremiah said, they're going to come up over the walls. Those that are left will be carted off to Babylon into captivity. And you know something? The false prophets denied all of that, and the people didn't believe what God said. They believed the lie. They believed the false prophets. And sure enough, what God said would happen, happened. And of course, we know that Nebuchadnezzar came over the walls and there was a massacre. Even Zedekiah the king, you know. It's amazing to know Zedekiah. He was told, but he still didn't believe what God had said. Zedekiah, somebody said, you know, we don't believe that the word of God because there's a contradiction about Zedekiah. See, the Bible says in one place, Zedekiah would be taken off to Babylon. Another place it says, Zedekiah wouldn't even see Babylon. No, there's no contradiction there. Simply because Zedekiah was captured, brought before Nebuchadnezzar, and of course, they brought the boys, the sons of Zedekiah, and they slew them right before Zedekiah. And after they had slain the sons of Zedekiah, they gouged out the eyes of Zedekiah. And of course, now he's blind. So they put him in chains. They took him off to Babylon. But you know something? He got to go to Babylon, but he didn't get to see Babylon. Why didn't he get to see Babylon? He didn't have any eyes. That's how accurate the word of God is. It's like Elijah. You're on Ahab and Jezebel this morning. Brother, listen, Ahab was warned. This is what's going to happen to you. You know, the bloods are going to lick, the dogs are going to lick up your blood where Naboth was slain. And you know what? They told Jezebel, you know what? The dogs are going to eat you. That's what they told Jezebel. You know, they still went on their merry way. There was no repentance. They just continued on in their wickedness. But you know something? Paul said over in Acts chapter 27, just turn there please. They didn't believe what he said. And that's the case right from Genesis through Revelation. There's always a consequence to not believing what God says. Because you know something, what God says will come true. May have taken over 100 years in the days of Noah. It may have, you know, God says about this time next year, it's going to happen, and it does. This time tomorrow it's going to happen, and it does. It's like Ahab. See, he was going to go out and do battle. But guess what? Jehoshaphat was up there to give him a hand, and Jehoshaphat had no right being there. But Jehoshaphat said to Ahab, you know, have you consulted the Lord on this battle you're going to go into tomorrow? And he said, well, maybe we ought to consult the Lord. So he gets his prophets up there. They're the false prophets. They come up, and so they said, well, what's going to happen tomorrow in this battle? And of course, the false prophet said, oh, mate, you got the victory. You're going to go out there, you're going to rage like a bull, and you're going to tear at them, and you're going to get a great conquest and a great victory. Jehoshaphat said, haven't you got a prophet of the Lord beside this crowd? Yeah, I got one of them, but I hate him. He doesn't tell me anything good. Everything's bad. Everything's doom and gloom. Micaiah is his name. Well, why don't you get him up here and see what he's got to say? So on the way up, Micaiah comes and the other crowd says, we've already told him he's going to get the victory, he's going to have the battle and he's going to have the conquest. So Micaiah comes in and says, yep. He said, you're going to get the victory, you're going to have the conquest. You've already been told. And Ahab says, hang on a minute. That doesn't sound right. Something wrong here. Something wrong with this picture. He says, you never tell me anything like that, you know. He said, yeah. Or you want the truth? He said, I want the truth and nothing but the truth. He said, you know, you're a dead man tomorrow. That's the long and the short of it. I tell you what, he was trying to get out of believing that, but it was going to come true, and come true it did. In Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul was crossing the Mediterranean on a Roman ship going over to make an appeal to Caesar because they wanted to turn him over to the Jews to have him executed. So he said, I appeal to Caesar. And they said, unto Caesar thou shalt go. So as they're crossing the Mediterranean, Paul says to them, you know, I think we need to just stay here a while because, you know, the weather's going to get rough. it's going to get tough, and there's going to be lots of damage and loss of life and all that. So we need to winter just here. Just take it easy. Because you know something? They didn't believe Paul. What would he know? Because he's only a preacher anyway. They said, consulted the captain of the ship, and they said, yep, we're going to keep going. See, and that's the way it is. Sometimes people would rather believe somebody in another profession than believe a preacher. And a preacher's got the Word of God to go by. He's got the Word of God and the Spirit of God to guide you. And we talk to young people all the time. We try to guide young people, tell young people and adults, try to give them solutions for life. And if they go against the Word of God, there's a price to pay. And sometimes they'll come back with regret and say, I should have listened to you. Paul had told him, don't venture out there, because if you do, there's going to be trouble. Well, look on down here in the book of Acts, chapter 27. In verse 22, Paul said, now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. You didn't listen to me before, listen to me now. He said, we're going to lose the ship. We're not going to lose any man's life so long as you listen to what I'm telling you. And so in verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Don't worry about the storm. Just know this, God is with you. God's going to give you these men, and you're going to be in Rome. You're going to stand before Caesar. God guaranteed that. And Paul believed God, and he shared that with the men. And verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For look at this. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. You can guarantee it's going to be exactly like God tells it. Paul said it's going to be just like God told me. And that's the way our world is today. It doesn't believe what God says in His Word, but I tell you, my friend, Judgment Day is coming for our world. And we look at all the things that are happening in our world. We say, hey, the Word of God is coming true. We see that the Word of God is absolutely precise, is absolutely accurate. And everything that God says in His Word one day will be fulfilled. And you've only got to read from Genesis to Revelation and see that happening. In the book of Revelation, we see during the tribulation, they see all these judgments of God coming upon the earth. They know it's from God, but they repent not of their deeds because they don't believe in the God of heaven. They just believe in themselves. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you for your Word. I pray, Lord, that if there's one in our midst that does not know you today, I pray, Lord, that they would come to know you before they walk out of this building knowing your Word is absolutely true, accurate and precise. It's not generalities. It's very precise. We ask, Lord, if there's someone here that's drifting, I pray, Lord, the Spirit of God would get hold of them and draw them back. We ask, Lord, that you just have your will and way and the invitation him now this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.